Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, come on. Good morning, everybody. And welcome to the kickoff of our God's Plan series. And really, our hope is by the end of this that we don't have just the song stuck in our head, but we have God's plan actually alive in our head, that it's a whole lot simpler than sometimes what we make it out to be, but it's living for God in your everyday life, making a difference. And during this series, we want to help you learn how to discover God's plan for your life. Not only that, but we believe that God has already given you everything you need to walk in His plan for your life. So each week, man, it's going to build on one another. Encourage you to be here. Wanted to take a minute here to celebrate some of our great leaders and assistant leaders. We just had our crew leader intensive. I think we had like 140 leaders showing up, and we're launching 40 new crews in September, and so registrations will open up next week. But can we just give all of the new leaders and existing leaders that are stepping up in a big way a big round of applause? And it's just so awesome to watch. I remember when we planted this church less than a year ago, we had our whole church team was about half of the amount of leaders that we had in the room the other night at Crew Leader Intensive. And it's just awesome, man. Here's what I've just found. Man, when you're in the middle of something, have you ever noticed it doesn't seem like God's doing that much? But you just step back for a moment and you put things into perspective and you're like, God is doing exceedingly abundantly above all that I could have asked or thought. And man, just never forget, God is moving even when you don't think He is. Behind the scenes, He's working things out, and man, it's going to be an awesome book. As we jump in today, God's Plan Part 1, if you got your Bibles with me, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, I love this passage of Scripture. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us to renew our mind so what? We can walk in God's plan. Today, I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought. Thinking for a change. Thinking for a change. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you that you're present, that you are here to speak to people. So we pray, Lord God, that you would challenge our thinking, God. May we grab a hold of God thoughts today, Lord. May people be encouraged and inspired, Lord God, that you think only good things towards them, Lord God, and you have great plans out in front of them, Lord. We thank you today that your Holy Spirit is here to show us who Jesus is. May we see him better today. May we become more like him. Lord, we love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Come on, if you love Jesus this morning, can we put our hands together for him? Come on. I got a question. Does anybody, you just really like to travel? Like you love traveling. I love to travel. I love to go away. Have you noticed that there's just something different about getting out of your city that just clears your mind sometimes, you know what I mean? And I love to travel, and I used to do a lot of traveling. I used to be on an airplane almost once a week or at least every other week, traveling, preaching, and doing all kinds of different things. And so I've done a lot of traveling. I'm one of those people, I don't like to travel driving in a car. Okay, some people really like road trips. God bless your heart. I'm just not your tribe. You know what I mean? Unless I'm in an RV or something like that, where I can take a nap or something like that. But being stuck in a car, but I like traveling in airplanes. Like, I get a lot of work done in airplanes. I either that or I take a really good nap in an airplane. And, you know, it's just, I don't mind being in airplanes. It's fine. But one of my favorite things is when I'm traveling is that you get to fly. I like flying at night. I like flying in the day, but I like flying at night because you get to fly over different cities. And one of my favorite things is, especially now that we're here in Omaha, is whenever I'm coming home, flying in at night, it's like you just get to look over my city. I get to look over it, and I look down on it, and sometimes my heart is just, I'm like, God, let's do more in this city. And sometimes I'm like, man, I love this city. But one of the things that always grabs my attention when I'm coming into the city is you're coming, and everything up until then is just black, right? You're just out there, you see like maybe the wing and the flashing thing and whatever, so you're not really paying attention outside. And then you come into the city, and over in the distance, you can start to see a glow, right? So you can tell there's something changing in the horizon. There's this glow over there, and you can tell. But as you get closer, what do you start to see? You start to see definition and lights. One of my favorite things to do is when you're looking over a city is to actually see the organization. Like it's actually laid out in patterns. It's almost like looking down on a grid. Like even out in the middle of nowhere when you're flying during the day, you look down and you're like, that's a lot of squares and circles. Like, there's a lot of squares and circles, you know what I mean? Out in the middle of nowhere, farm fields, that what? Like, there's pattern where there is life.
Yeah.
Like, just think about that for a moment. There's patterns where there is life. Like, when you look at the city, you see an organizational structure. You see a level of pattern. How many are thankful for patterns? Like, sometimes there's a difference between a rut and a pattern. Patterns help us. Ruts keep us stuck. Patterns. Could you imagine our city if we didn't have any patterns? Like, it's called Lincoln, Nebraska. There's roads everywhere. They go nowhere, you know what I mean? No, you can't get anywhere easily. It's an hour long to get across a city that's like this big. And that's what it feels like when there's no patterns. Like, I'm so thankful for patterns. I'm thankful that we have roads that create patterns of traffic. I'm so glad that people just don't drive wherever they were. I'd be so angry. I'd be like, get off my lawn. With your car, you know, your Ford Fiesta, get it off my lawn. And you know, so like patterns actually bring organization and they actually benefit our life. Like you can only imagine what it would be like driving in a city without patterns. Like if it was just green all the time at the stoplight, I mean, no, we're going to have problems. Or if we didn't have any organization, can you imagine a 17-way stop? Take me 45 minutes just to get across an intersection, you know what I mean? And many accidents later. And so patterns actually help develop a sense of purpose in humanity. Here's what I would say to you, even a step further. Patterns reveal purpose, and purpose points to a designer. Like the fact that we have like organization to our city points to a designer. There's city planners. There's people who actually design the layout of the city, and sometimes they do a good job, sometimes they don't, and sometimes that's why we're in nonstop, you know, construction on every road possible. Either way, patterns, they show us that there was a purposeful intent for whatever was created. Not only that, but it also points to a designer. Here's what I want you to know. God had purposeful intent when he created you. And he built you with patterns in your life. And those patterns were put there by him. He designed it. You can't change them. You can't move them. You can only learn how to use them correctly. Here's what I want you to know. God's plan. God's plan is destiny developed through your design. You want to know what God's plan is for your life? God has a direction. I would go a step further. God doesn't just have a direction. God has a person in mind he wants you to become. Your character, your attributes, what you bring to the table, that is your destiny. And God wants to develop that destiny by helping you discover your design. That God has built you with patterns on the inside of you. That God has hardwired you. And if you use the patterns correctly, here's what you're going to find in your life. That you are going to develop through that design straight into your destiny. That it's not something that we have to search for out there. It's something that actually flows out of here. That it comes out of our design, the way God has made us to live, and it works from our design out of our life, which creates our destiny that we walk in. Man, for too long, I've seen so many people, they think destiny is a destination. It's somewhere that I finally got to go. So if I'm not there yet, I must be lacking something in order to be able to get there. But the reality is God saying, hey, I've given you a pattern of living. I've given you a pattern that I've designed in you. And if you'll take it and maximize it, you will find yourself walking in the destiny. Here's the way I would describe it. Some people chase destiny. Some people have destiny chase them. And God wants you to be the kind of person that has understood the way he's made you so effectively that what? That all of a sudden you just feel like, man, destiny is following me, not me chasing destiny. And that pattern, I talked about this for a brief second during our sex ed series, and I felt like God said, hey, I want you to do a whole series on that. And God has hardwired you. I would go a step further. God won't take this from you. He's built you this way. He's designed you this way. And we determine whether we're going to actually use it to what? Live out God's purposes in our life. But here's the deal. The devil also uses it to hijack God's purposes in our lives. See, sometimes I think we're praying for God to deliver us from something. And God's saying, no, I can't deliver you from that because that's the way I've created you. You're just not using it in its appropriate function. Yeah. So here's the pattern that I want you to get. And it's pivotal for us to get this. Everything that we do in our life starts as a thought. It starts as a thought in your life. In fact, if God's going to do something new in your life, it's going to start with what? A new thought. Right. Yeah. Like that's what God's speaking to us a lot of times is. It's an inspirational thought that comes in our brain that we are aware of. That's not from me. Like I have thoughts and I can sense that's a God idea. That's a God thought. That our thoughts are the foundation of all that we create in our world. Because why? Thoughts lead to imaginations. Just think about it. I want you to think about sitting on the beach. You can't think it. Some of you are like, praise God, I'm out of here. You know what I mean? See you manana. You can't actually have those thoughts without what? A visual image starting to kick off in your mind. That's literally our thoughts begin to turn into an imagination. And what you'll find is if you imagine on something long enough, you'll actually start to create a vision for it. The difference between a vision and an imagination is vision is going, not I'm going to think about it. Our imagination says I'm going to think about it. Vision says I'm going to make it a reality. So vision starts to actually see yourself how to get what? From where I am now to where I want to be. Imagination just puts yourself there. Vision starts to go, no, I'm here right now. I want to get here. So vision would be like thinking about a beach, but then you start Googling Expedia. See, now you're starting to what? Move to vision, which is what? Going to create a plan in your life. And once you've got a plan, see, this process builds confidence. Once we have a plan, then what? Plans breed action. Yep. And God wants you to know he's built you this way to have a God thought, to have a God imagination, to have a God vision, to develop a plan to bring it all about, and then, baby, get to work at it. Yeah, come on. That you can bring that thing alive in your life. But the devil also knows that. He feeds your life the same way. He what? Inspires you with thoughts that are not of God. So what? That I get an imagination. The Bible says it's a vain imagination. A vain imagination. It's imagining things that are of no benefit to the purposes of God. Imagination. Then we start to build a vision around it. Then we make a plan. Then we create an action. Yeah, yeah. That's why some people are like, I don't know how I got here. Action. Plan, let's just read, vision, imagination, thought. So if we're going to find great victory, we have to simply understand that it's going to start with our thought life. Each part of this series we're going to walk through. Today we're going to look at thoughts. Next week, imagination, vision. But we're going to look at it not through the lens of what we don't want, but how to take what God has designed us for and make it all that God wants it to be. Because why? God's plan is destiny developed through your design. Let me say that again to you. God's plan is destiny developed through your design. You've got what it takes in your hand right now. He's hardwired you to walk in the purposes he has for you. And he starts with what is going on in our thoughts. That's exactly what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And he says, hey, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to conform to this world. What is this world? Who's the prince of this world? The Bible says that there's a prince of this world and his name's the devil. He's our great enemy. He's the one that wants to what? Fill our minds with thoughts that what? Lead to bad imaginations and a bad vision and a bad plan. And then what? We wind up stuck in the same old actions over and over again. He says, here's what I want you. I don't want you to conform to that pattern anymore. That pattern isn't helpful. That pattern doesn't lead to God's plans for your life. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know how to walk in all that God has for you? It starts right here between your ears, in your mind, beginning to understand that God has designed you to think God thoughts. The problem is that we have to go through a renewing process. It didn't say, hey, you might need to go through a renewing process. It says, hey, here's what I need. You're going to need to not conform to those anymore. I mean, it's going to have to be a decision that says, you know what? I'm going to reject those, and I'm going to start to feed my brain new thoughts, thoughts that renew my mind back to God's plan A. Because God wants you to understand that just like there is a plan or a pattern on how you create destiny in your life, how God works in your life, there's also literally a scientific pattern that your brain goes through when it thinks. Like that, this is one of those things, unmovable. Like, we always want to take the thing that like we don't feel like is working in our life and just change it. But here's what I found. Half of the time in my life, the things that I'm wanting to change are immovable. I'm just using them in the wrong way. And God says, I've built your brain to process a certain way. And the way your brain thinks and processes is determined whether you receive God ideas or whether you receive what? Negative ideas. And here's the pattern that I want you to see today. And this is like scientific, psychological. I've spent literally hours reading about this week. And it literally follows this pattern. When something new comes into your world, because that's where oftentimes our thoughts come from. Our thoughts are often driven by experience. So when somebody says something or does something or you experience something new, your thoughts come through. Here's the first thing that you think. You think, is this personal? We filter what is going on in our head through what? What does this mean about me? So when somebody tells you what? Hey, I really like you. What does that tell you? This is good. Like, I feel good about me, right? But you can have 20, have you ever noticed you can have 25 people tell you, I really like you, and then one person. You're annoying. See? Oh, man. And then we begin to take that personally. So we filter, here's what I want you to get. We filter our thought life through our identity. That's why there cannot be any other identity but rooted in Jesus Christ. If your identity is in your performance, in your sexuality, if your identity is in any other thing but Jesus, what you're going to find is you're going to filter your whole world through what? What does this say about me? See, then the next question we ask is we go, hey, is this pervasive? Is this spread widely in my world? Like whatever's happening, first, what does this say about me? And then if it, so like, I'll give you a little illustration. So let's say somebody comes up to you and they're like, you know, hey, I was driving behind you in traffic, and you're a terrible driver, and you're like, whatever, you know what I mean? And then you pull out of the parking lot of Quick Trip, and then you're driving down the road, and that guy cuts you off. Immediately, what do you begin to ask yourself? What does this say about me? And then you go, what? Have you ever said, dude, Omaha has the worst drivers. I've never been to a city where people don't think their city has the worst drivers. Because why? Whatever we filter through, it becomes what? Pervasive. We begin to apply it to things that doesn't even apply to because this is our personal experience. And then what? If we follow that rabbit trail further and further along, we begin to what? Permanent. Is this how it'll always be? So just think about that thought pattern. Like, what does this say about me? If it says this about me, is that also how it is in my world? And then if it says this about me, is that permanent? This is how we filter through our thoughts when something happens in our world. Like, I'm not talking about what kind of clothes you're going to pick out, but I would venture to say, if you follow this pattern, you will even find the way you dress fashion in fashion and whatever is filtered through, what does this say about me? What is it like in the rest? Are you all following with what I'm saying? So we begin to ask this. So here's your thought pattern. Is it personal? Is it pervasive? And is it permanent? That's why Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says this. For as he or she thinks in his heart, so is he. Because why? If we follow this logic and we go, hey, I thought this, this obviously means this is who I am. This is how my world is, and this is a permanent fixture in my life, then we understand that as I think, so is not only me, but so is my world, and so will be the continuation of the thought process over and over again. See, the pattern is unchanging. Here's what I want you to know. The pattern, it's unchanging. How we use it can be changed. So just think about that for a moment. Like, if this pattern is there, don't we want to be people who know how to use this to what? What? Receive all that God has for us. To use it and what the devil meant for harm to restore God's plan A for how my mind processes information and say, hey, whatever comes my way, you know what? I'm going to walk out God's plan for my life. I want to give you two little illustrations here, okay? The negative and the positive on how we process through this. The negative, and I'm going to use this as an example because we're getting ready to launch crews, and I think we have like gaboodles of new leaders. And so I say this to be an encouragement to people is whenever you're doing something new, have you noticed like that can be a little intimidating? Because why? We're filtering it through who we are. So I've never done this before. I've never attempted this before. So what? There's already a level of fear and insecurity. Because why? If it doesn't go well, what does that say about me? So half of your fears in your life come from that train of thought right there. And so, if you're a new leader in here, I want to use this illustration. You know, new leaders come in, they go through this month where they're kind of recruiting, connecting with people, inviting people, and they're doing their very best, and they're excited. And by the way, this has happened to the best of our leaders in this room, okay? So I'm trying to get you to learn how to take it and what? Use it the way God designed it. And they show up to their very first crew, and there's one person there. And they've invited, they made phone calls, they've made ever. You got to understand, the first question they're going to ask is, what does this say about me? The negative says, I'm just not a good leader. Man, people must not like us. You know what I mean? Like, you know, my coach or my director is going to think I didn't make any effort. What? We begin to think about it personal. And then we begin to think about it pervasive. Oh, man, I'm just not even going to invite anymore. See, people aren't interested in me. They're not interested in this crew. I'm just going to show up, and if somebody shows up, they'll show up. But if you keep on that, if it's pervasive, then you're going to start to make thoughts in your head about permanent changes. Ah, that crew leadership is not really for me. Not really my thing. You know how often I see this happen in church? People come in, they have a great experience with God, and then something, because the church is made up of people. Okay? And you know, none of the people in this room, you all are angels, but there's some of those people. They even show up to church, you know what I'm saying? And somewhere along the journey, something happens that what? Begins to what? Well, what does this say about me? Oh, this must just be how this church is. It's one person out of like 900 people, like one person. But it's become pervasive. Now what? I'm not going back to that church. Permanent. So this leader begins to process some of these negative thoughts in their head, right? And now what? What God designed as a plan to make a difference, to serve humanity, now has what? Because they don't know how to use this train of thought, has now what? Become the greatest weapon the devil will use. Could it be sometimes we're trying to step out in faith into all that God has for us, and because we don't know how to think, the devil goes, just keep on stepping out. I get you every time. See, you know what I think is the plight of America in church? Complacency. It's this complacency. You know how I think it gets here? This message right here. Because people step out, oh, I'm not as good as so-and-so. We live in this social media comparison age where, like, I raise up young communicators and young preachers, and, like, I love some of these guys that preach. Some of them are my dear friends that preach on television and have all these, you know, 1 billion followers on Instagram and all this kind of stuff and all this kind of stuff, and they think being a good pastor is having a cool image on Instagram. And then they get up here and they try, and they don't realize what has happened behind the scenes is hours of labor and work and preparation. And then what? I tried it. Oh, I must not be a good communicator. Nobody out there wants to listen to me. Ah, that calling thing that I felt so deeply from God, not really for me. And the devil has used your design to hijack your destiny. And today we're going to say, no, 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 not today, devil, not anymore. I'm not going to let that negative train of thought. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at it and I'm going to begin to speak positivity. Whatever I initially feel, I'm going to speak the opposite. So imagine the leader who has that. The week one, they show up and there's this one person there and they go, oh man, huh. Thank God we had one person. I bet this one person probably knows 2 or 3 people. Maybe they can help us recruit. Or they go a step further and they go, is this pervasive? No, my coach and my director love me. In fact, God put them in my world to mentor me. I wonder if they have some coaching tips for me. I could get better at this. And all of a sudden, they begin to get permanent constructs in their life that says, God's plans for my life are yes and amen. Though I may waver, though I may not feel like a success anymore, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to be faithful. And though I may not feel like I'm winning right now, I can grow myself through this thing. Listen to me, friends. That person will continue to make themselves available to God. And sometimes I just thank God. You know why I think God uses me sometimes? Just because I keep on saying yes. Ain't all that good. Ain't all that, you know what I mean? Ain't all that smart. I just keep on saying yes because I've determined, and here's what I want you to know. I've determined that God's thoughts over my life matter than my own. Isaiah 55 verse 8-9 says this, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. What it would be like to be God. I don't want that pressure, thank God I'm not. But to be so secure in yourself that you can literally engage the world without filtering it through who you are. He knows who he is. He knows exactly who he is. He knows his level of confidence. And he wants you to know, hey, his thoughts, they're not like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I want to encourage somebody today. We don't need new thoughts. We need God thoughts. Come on. Come on. Come on. We don't need positive thinking, positive affirmation, just hashtag positive vibes only. We need hashtag God thoughts only. I'm going to what? Because I don't have the strength to not think through my lack, insecurities, and fears. I'm going to train myself to borrow a thought that is higher than mine. I'm going to train myself to borrow God's thoughts because, friends, if God thinks it about me, guess what it is? It's personal. It's pervasive. It's permanent. I want to remind somebody today of some permanent statements that God has over your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can imagine the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Do you love Him this morning? That's God's personal word, pervasive word, permanent word over your life. Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Come on, this is God's plan. We got to renew our mind. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. It doesn't matter what comes. His word is yes and amen. It is with us to the very end. Isaiah 43, this is for somebody in here today about your thought life. Behold, I am doing a new thing. I'm going to give you new thoughts. I'm going to give you a new inspiration. Borrow my thoughts, says the Lord. Now it's springing forth. Do you not perceive? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Some of you have been feeling like you're living in a desert full of thinking. And God's saying, hey, borrow my thoughts. I'll put a river right through the middle of that. I'll open up doors you haven't thought of. And so with all this in our heads and all this in our minds, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to all of these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? See, friends, I want to remind somebody in here today, these thoughts, they're personal over your life. This isn't for Pastor Jesse. This is for you. Put your name in there. God's plans for my life, these are His promises. These thoughts are personal. These thoughts are pervasive. These thoughts are permanent in my life. Why? Because they are God's thoughts over my life. God wants to fill our minds with some God thoughts this morning. Could you imagine how your imagination would change if you believe that? See, friends, I've been down this road 1,000 times, and when I'm at my worst is when I don't manage my thoughts. That insecure Jesse that gets all weirded out by things and what people think and da-da, that guy, he's never going to walk in his destiny. I'll be honest with you, God's plan will change for him about as much as my thoughts change. But when we get God's word believing in our heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We are going to begin to imagine a world that is not full of defeat, that's not full of sin and shame. We're going to begin to imagine a world that's full of God's blessing and God's hope. And friends, we're going to get a vision for that. We're going to make some plans, and we're going to get to work, and we're going to walk in God's plan. Man, I believe it today. And I believe that there's some people in here today. Just to be honest with you, you've had some things happen in your world that were personally directed towards you. But the question is, what does this say about you? Just because something is personal doesn't mean it has to shape your identity. And there has been some people, you've been in a relationship before and you got hurt. It was personal. And for some of you, it said, I'm not really worthy of love. Or for some of you, you said the other extreme, I don't need anybody. And that's become pervasive. Men can't be trusted. Women can't be trusted. That always happens. And so now it's become a permanent fixture in your life. And God's saying that is a stronghold where the devil has access. And He says, no more. Because that's not what I believe about you. You know what, friends? wasn't personal towards you. You're a child of God. God only thinks good thoughts towards you. He has great plans for you. You know what? Not all people are like that. Not every situation is going to be like that. And it's not permanent. Though it may have hurt, it doesn't have to stay in my mind. It doesn't have to control me anymore. I'm going to think some new thoughts. I'm going to think some God thoughts. Why don't we stand to our feet all over this place?
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.